Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. My name's Chris McAleer, your host today. I'm glad that you have joined us this morning as we spend time in God's Word as we continue our ongoing study of the Old Testament in 2017. Today we are in the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to be looking at chapter 5 and going through chapter 9 and verse 10 today. Words to the wise, we might title this. But before we get into our study, we do want to make you aware of a few things that are going on around us in the Brotherhood. One of these is a fall gospel meeting to be held at the Mineola, Texas Church of Christ, located at 1621 North Pacific Street in Mineola, Texas. Everyone is welcome. The speaker is Jason Sparks from the Brown Trail Church of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. Jason is the director of the Truth in Love television program, and Jason will be presenting lessons Sunday morning and nightly Sunday through Wednesday at 7 p.m. This is going to be September 10th through the 13th. Jason will be bringing lessons on the book of James that will challenge you to be stronger and to be greater in your faith. And so that is the fall gospel meeting at the Mineola Church of Christ in Mineola, Texas. Also coming up, September 11th through the 13th at 7 p.m. nightly, will be the Searching the Scriptures Forum at the Broadway Church of Christ in Tyler, Texas. This is an outstanding annual event put on by the Brethren at Broadway. This year, the panelists will be Brother Robert Johnson from Longview, Texas, Brother Chris Grota from the North Jefferson Congregation in Mount Pleasant, and also Sam Wilcutt from the Carriage Oaks Congregation in Bossier City will be your panelist. Monday night, there will be a youth night also with Brother J.J. Hendricks from the North Jefferson Congregation in Mount Pleasant. He and Chris Grota are your Friday host here on Mornings for the Master. That'll be from 5:30 to 7 on Monday with a meal served there on the youth night. So make plans to be at the Broadway Congregation in Tyler, Texas at 7 p.m. nightly, September 11th through the 13th. Okay, that's our bulletin board for this morning, and we want to get right into our study this morning, for we have a lot to cover, and we're going to be looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8 in the first 10 verses of chapter 9 this morning. Chapter 5 begins, "Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil." Solomon begins here in chapter 5 by giving some thoughts concerning our worship. When we go to worship, we need to open our heart and our ears to hear. Our worship should be in spirit and in truth. It should not simply be going through the motions and the rites. Our worship must not be like that of the foolish, for they are evil in their ways before God. Indeed, we should walk prudently. Verse 2 says, "Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few." We should guard the tongue, and we should be slow to speak. As Christians, we must consider our words. We should make sure that our words are seasoned with grace, not speaking hastily and thus convicting yourself before God. It is better to be thought a fool than to open the mouth and prove it. Verse 3 says, "For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words." Solomon again reminds us to think before we open our mouth. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. A vow is to be kept. A vow before God must not be broken. God will not hold the one who breaks vows guiltless. Our society today has forgotten the sacredness of the marriage vow, and we are paying great consequences for that. It is better not to make vows that you might not keep, instead of breaking them. Jesus taught at length against such in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Keep your word at all times. Pay what you owe on your debts. Verse 6. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there is also vanity, but fear God. Do not allow an unruly tongue to lead you into sin. Keep the mouth closed when your passions are about to overwhelm your sense of reason. To learn to control the tongue, we must first learn to fear God. Verses 8 and 9 deal with the injustice of men. If you see the oppression of the poor, if you see the oppression of the poor and the violent perversion of justice and righteousness in a province, do not marvel at the matter, for high official watches over high official, and higher officials are over them. Moreover, the profit of the land is for all, even the king is served from the field. Do not be surprised when you see the poor being oppressed, or when you see the justice system made mockery of by corrupt judges. Remember that every official has a ruler over them, and even the Supreme Court of the United States will give account to the Supreme Judge of all the world, the Almighty God. The land gives and is for both the pauper and the king. The vanity of riches is considered in verses 10 through 17. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit have the owners except to see them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. Solomon found that all the riches in the world would not bring satisfaction to a man. The lover of money will never be satisfied, for he can never accumulate enough to satisfy him. The more one accumulates in the pursuit of riches, the more their lust for material gain will consume them. There is much peace of mind for the honest laborer at the end of the day. Verse 13, there is a severe evil which I have seen under the sun. Riches kept for their owner to his hurt. But those riches perish through misfortune. When he begets a son, there is nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return, to go as he came, and he shall take nothing from his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a severe evil. Just exactly as he came, so shall he go. And what profit has he who has labored for the wind? All his days he also eats in darkness, and he has much sorrow and sickness and anger. The man who is stingy with his material gain will suffer much and be filled with worry. Riches cannot bring happiness, and they do not follow you to eternity. They can put your money in the casket with you, and it will decay right along with the body. It will not go to eternity with you. You came into this world with nothing, and you will leave this world with nothing of the material realm. The accumulating of riches without the application of the godly principles of benevolence and compassion for those in need is certainly an evil under the sun, according to verse 13. Verses 18 through 20 discuss the proper use of riches. Here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor, in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it is his heritage. It is a heritage from God. However, we must remember our blessings and material gains are from God, and they belong to him, and we are merely stewards over those things. Verse 19, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage, and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joys of his heart. The enjoyment of our material blessings themselves are a gift from God. We should meditate regularly upon the material blessings from God and for the joy and happiness that they bring us. And so we move into chapter 6. Chapter 6 begins with a sad situation. Verses 1 and 2 show us a common affliction among men. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor, so that he lacks nothing for himself of all he desires, yet God does not give him power to eat of it, but a foreigner consumes it. This is vanity, and it is an evil affliction. Many men receive riches and wealth and honor to the point that they lack for absolutely nothing in life. Yet, some who receive these blessings are not able to enjoy them. It may be that God does not give them the ability or power to do so. It may be that a foreign invader takes and consumes it. This is an evil affliction, and it is vanity. Verses 3 through 6 show a sad situation, even with many children and a long life. If a man begets 100 children and lives for many years, so that the days of his years are many, but his soul is not satisfied with goodness, or indeed he has no burial, I say that a stillborn child is better than he, for it comes in vanity and departs in darkness, and its name is covered with darkness. Though it has not seen the sun or known anything, this has more rest than that man. Even if he lives 1,000 years twice, but has not seen goodness, do not all go to one place? Solomon here very strongly points out that a dissatisfied soul is worse off than a stillborn child. The stillborn child may come in vanity and depart in darkness, yet it is still better off than a dissatisfied individual. The stillborn child's name may not even be given, yet it is still better off than the dissatisfied individual. The stillborn child is better off even though it never knew anything but darkness and never saw outside of the womb. For the stillborn child will spend eternity in the glory of the light of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The dissatisfied individual that does not appreciate the blessings and goodness of God only has an eternity in the lake of fire and brimstone to look forward to. The stillborn child has rest that is better than the affliction of the dissatisfied. Yes, it truly is better to be stillborn than to be dissatisfied with God. In verses 7 through 12, we find Solomon reflecting on riches. And first it begins by pointing out that riches cannot satisfy the soul. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the soul is not satisfied. For what more has the wise man than the fool? What does the poor man have who knows how to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. A man may consume riches, but they will never bring true satisfaction. Indeed, the rich are often the most miserable people of all. Money will not make the man any wiser, and it will not cause a fool to cease to be a fool. A godly poor man will still be better than a rich fool. Chapter 15 in verse 16 says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble." Chapter 19 in verse 1 says, "Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool." Better is the poor, according to chapter 28 in verse 6, who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Indeed, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire, which is vanity and grasping for the wind. Verses 10 to 12 point out that riches cannot change the vanity of life. For whatever one is, he has been named already. For it is known that he is man, and he cannot contend with him who is mightier than he. Since there are many things that increase vanity, how is the man better? For who knows what is good for a man in life? All the days of his vain life which he passes like a shadow. Who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun? Whatever fame or notoriety one may attain, no matter what one's position in this life is, he is still a man, and he is unable to contend with God. Man is subject to many things that increase the vanity of life. The days of man are short, and they pass like a shadow. Man's days are no more than a vapor or the twinkling of an eye. Who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun? Unless it is God, it is no one. And so we move to chapter 7. And in chapter 7, we see guidelines for better living. That should cause us to take note. We see the value of practical wisdom. A good name is better than precious ointment. And the day of death than the day of one's birth. Honor is certainly more desirable than material things that the world values. A good name is to be highly valued. We teach our children to bring honor to their family name. Our birth is the beginning of sorrows. Job chapter 14 and verse 1 says, "Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 18, "Why did I come forth from the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame?" The day of one's death can be the beginning of eternal bliss. Verse 2, "Better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men. And the living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by a sad countenance the heart is made better." Verse 4 says, "The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting." The funeral is the end of the line for all men in this life. The living will take it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. A sad heart causes our heart to be made better. The logical conclusion to verses 2 and 3 thus is found in verse 4. "The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth." The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, and the heart of fools is going to be found wherever the party is located. Verse 5, "It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. This is also vanity. Surely oppression destroys a wise man's reason, and a bribe debases the heart." The rebuke of the wise is better than the song of fools. The laughter of a fool is useless and vain. Verse 6 compares it to a crackling of thorns in the fire under a boiling pot, and that is vanity. Oppression is a destroyer of the wise man's reason, causing him to stumble. The temptation of a bribery can weaken the will and debase the heart when given into causing one to stumble and sin. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. The end of life is better than the beginning. As we saw earlier, the reward for a man does not come until this life is completed. The patient in spirit is rewarded and blessed in comparison to the one who becomes prideful in their spirit. They will have their reward in the approval of man and not God. Verse 9 says, "Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Be slow to anger and wrath, as James taught us, and remember that anger resides in the bosom of the fool. Impulsive actions due to anger will bring humiliation, heartaches, and sorrows." Verse 10, "Do not say, 'Why were the former days better than these?' For you do not inquire wisely concerning this." Many people long for the old days when things were better. I have been guilty of this myself from time to time. However, Solomon tells us that it is not wise to think in this manner. We must live in the present and not the past as we serve God. You have seen individuals that can only talk about the past. They are tiresome, and they lack concern for the lives and souls that need to be saved in the present. For the past is just that. It is past. Verse 11, "Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and profitable to those who see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, as money is a defense. But the excellence of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to those who have it." It is good when one receives an inheritance if they have wisdom in the way they use it. It is profitable to carrying out life on earth. Though money is a good thing to help us in this life, wisdom is far greater. Money does not give life, but wisdom opens the door to life for those who use it. Verse 13, "Consider the work of God, for who can make straight what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him." We must realize that there are things which we cannot change. God has determined times of prosperity and times of adversity. Both situations come from God. Man cannot know what tomorrow may bring forth. We should learn to be joyful in the days of prosperity and to be content in the days of adversity, for they are the days that strengthen our faith. Verses 15 through 29 provide us guidelines for balanced living. Verse 15, "I have seen everything in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you grasp this, and also not remove your hand from the other. For he who fears God will escape them all. Wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city. For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others." The value of moderation can be seen in these verses. The righteous do not always prosper in this life, and the wicked will not always suffer in this life. We should avoid extremism in our pursuit to live righteously and wisely and destroy ourselves. We should also avoid extremism in wickedness and foolishness to avoid an early grave. Instead, seek and live true righteousness and wisdom. The fear of God will help us to avoid the dangers of extremes. Wisdom is a source of strength, but only Jesus lived without sin. Do not take everything you hear personally, and know that you may hear others speak evil of you from time to time. Remember, and be long-suffering, for you have probably thought or spoke evil of another at some point in your life. Wisdom alone is not the complete answer. This we learn in the next section of verses, beginning in verse 23. All this I have proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. As for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know, to search and seek out wisdom and the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be trapped by her. Here is what I have found, says the preacher, adding one thing to the other to find out the reason, which my soul still seeks, but I cannot find. One man among a thousand I have found, but a woman among all these I have not found. Truly, this only have I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. There are questions that wisdom cannot answer. Some things are simply beyond our ability or capacity to understand, no matter how long or how hard you search for the answer. We learn that a wicked woman is certainly to be avoided. Solomon learned that a wicked woman is more bitter than death. The wise man who pleases God will avoid her, but the sinner will be ensnared by her. Good men are few and far between. A good man is hard to find, and a good woman even rarer. God created man perfectly, but man has sought out many schemes of evil through the ages. We move into chapter 8 in the thought of submission to authorities. Who is like a wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the sternness of his face is changed. I say, keep the king's commandment for the sake of your oath to God. Do not be hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand for an evil thing, for he does whatever pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say to him, what are you doing? He who keeps his command will experience nothing harmful. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Because for every matter there is a time and judgment. Though the misery of man increases greatly, for he does not know what will happen. So who can tell him when it will occur? No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war, and wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. Wisdom is of great value. Wisdom enables one to change their countenance in days of stress and trouble. As Christians, we are to obey civil authority for our Lord's sake. When we submit to the ruling authorities, it pleases our Father in heaven. We should not be too hasty to leave the ruler's presence. We should not associate with or defend what is evil. Christians may not approve of the behavior of our rulers, but we must respect his position and authority. The ruler is less likely to bring trouble upon subjects that give respect and honor to the authorities. A wise man understands that judgment will come to oppressive rulers in due time. We cannot resort to wickedness or insurrection, but rather be patient and allow God's will to be worked in the due process of time. This is opposite of the thought processes of many well-meaning Christians, unfortunately. Consider Romans 13, verses 1 through 7, and the subject of submission to governing authorities. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. We also consider 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 17. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evil doers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evil doers, and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Wisdom demands that we anticipate the occasional wicked ruler. Verse 9, all this I have seen and applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. There is a time in which one man rules over another to his own hurt. Then I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of holiness, and they were forgotten. In the city where they had so done, this also is vanity. because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know that it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before him, but it will not be well with the wicked, nor will he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he does not fear before God. There will be times in our lives when we have rulers that rule for their own interest and not that of their subjects. These rulers will not be long remembered. Many rule selfishly because they have no fear or respect of God. They will eventually reap what they have sown. And make no mistake that every knee will in time bow before Jesus. Verses 14 through 17 consider dealing with the vanity of life. There is a vanity which occurs on the earth, that there are just men to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. Again, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the works of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Again, we were reminded that at times in this life the wicked will prosper, and the righteous shall suffer. But eternity will be a different story. We will sometimes not understand why things happen the way they do. But we simply must continue to trust and obey, and God will reward at the proper time those who remember him in eternity, if not in this life. Verse 15, so I commended enjoyment, because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry. For this will remain with him in his labor all the days of his life, which God gives him under the sun. Work and labor are good and profitable for a man. We should take joy in our labors and use the rewards of our labors to glorify the Lord and his kingdom. Let us enjoy the life that God has given to us and live and enjoy the blessings we have received. Verse 16 says, when I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done on earth, even though one sees no sleep day or night, then I saw all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. For though a man labors to discover it, he will not find it. Moreover, though a wise man attempts to know it, he will not be able to find it. Truly, we gain much from the wisdom of Solomon. Let us learn to set our mind on things above. And while we are here on this earth, remember that to live is Christ and to die is gain. And now we come to chapter 9, and we're going to look at the first 10 verses today. And death surely cometh. Verse 1. For I considered all this in my heart, so that I could declare it all, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. People know neither love nor hatred by anything they see before them. All things come alike to all. One event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good, the clean, and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As is the good, so is the sinner. He who takes an oath, as he who fears an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that one thing happens to all. Truly the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. But for him who is joined to all the living there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward. For the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun. Friends, it is appointed unto man once to die. Both the righteous and the wicked will face death. When death comes to the righteous, they will be found safe in the arms of God. But the sons of men are mostly full of evil. While we live, a Christian will live in hope and expectation. When we die, we will know nothing of what is going on here on earth. This is contrary to the popular opinion that Aunt Bertha will not be hanging around as your guardian angel. In fact, even the memory of us will soon fade away. Look at how few people you have knowledge about that lived before, say, 1900. I was thinking of my grandfather recently and realized that by the time I die, there will be very little to any memory of him remaining to anyone. In verses 7 through 10, we see that death is surely coming, but we should enjoy life while we are here. Verse 7, "Go, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun. All your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life, and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." God wants us to enjoy this life and not to live it worrying about death. Live joyfully with the wife of your youth, for she is a joy to your existence. Work diligently while you are here, for your rest will come soon enough. And so, as we continue to build in our study of Ecclesiastes toward the great conclusion in chapter 12, we think of verse 13. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all." Ecclesiastes chapter 5 through chapter 9 and verse 10. Great lessons and practical advice for us as we walk through this life. Again, I appreciate you being with me this morning. You have encouraged me. I hope this time together has been an encouragement to you. I invite you to join me tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time for our studies in the Gospel program, where we study through the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Be sure to tune in tomorrow at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time as Brother Groda and Hendricks continue the study through Ecclesiastes. And if the Lord wills, I'll be back with you again next Thursday at the same time for another edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. So until next time, this is Chris McElyea saying so long and have a great day.